Good evening, fellow gooners, and welcome to another episode of Canon Talk. I'm your host, Morne, and my co-host, as usual, Aiden.
How's it, guys? A bit frustrated. You know, expected a bit more from the guys at Old Trafford.
Yeah, you know, our first Monday night match of the season. I actually expected the Arsenal onslaught, but, you know, it was anything but that, because all of a sudden, people like Pogba, people like Rashford made miraculous recoveries from the injuries. I mean, in a way, I think by the Thursday, I actually realized this is a bit more mind games by Solskjaer. I mean, the only thing I was surprised about was that Bissaka, because I was expecting, because I think we would have actually had a tougher time if he had not been in on the right back position.
Yeah, you would have pushed Kolasinac way, way, way further back, because Kolasinac is a type to not track back. And if he didn't track back with Wan-Bissaka, Arsenal, like you said, could have been in way more trouble. It just the team baffled me, because the selection of having almost like three kind of defensive midfielders for me threw the game off balance a bit for Arsenal against a United side that's been struggling and lacking confidence. My gripe is now we're seeing what happens now due to the fact of Emre making Xhaka captain. He's forced to play him, and we're sitting with the situation now.
But I mean, when you see a team, if you just think of the way Man United played against West Ham the week before, I was expecting, us to give almost like a kind of full onslaught on the game. But, you know, as you now mentioned, with that three holding midfielders and not one creative player on the pitch, I think, it was only Ceballos as a playmaker on the bench. But I mean, it already set up the stall for kind of negative football. And, as much as a person tried to criticize and that, but I mean, for me, it was almost like watching a Mourinho version of football, the way he used to set up his team, whether it was at Chelsea or whether it was at Man United. I expected
but at least Mourinho's side probably would have ended up, getting all 3 points, because he had a plan, and it just looks like Arsenal don't have a plan anymore. I know Emre had a plan against Liverpool, but we stuck with a coach right now who doesn't know his best starting 11. He just doesn't know who it is.
But I mean, how do I best explain it? For me, with this game already, when we did the podcast the Saturday or the Friday, as much as I was trying to be upbeat about it, the more the days wore on, the more uncomfortable I started feeling with that sense of what could happen, and it was eventually like that. We ended up almost like just being knocked on the ropes by United.
Watching that was quite shocking, seeing how United were all of a sudden dominating a game. I don't think they dominated as much since Chelsea, but now when they came up against us, they looked like let's just say inverted commas, the old Man United that came up against a shell shock Arsenal as always.
But I mean, maybe it's old rivalry or whatever, or the history of this fixture. But it's always like they can have an injury crisis, they can have people suspended. The minute they face us, they play that brand of football that's always, knocked the wind out of our sails. Because I mean, it was again that type of performance where when you looked at that team, if you put the teams head to head, you would have thought, this is probably a game where Arsenal can win by quite a few goals. But I mean, that being said, all props to Solskjaer for firing the lads up, their lads up before the game.
It's like the Arsenal guys aren't motivated enough. I mean, if go back a few seasons, you would have given Arsenal this United side, and I thought maybe we could have smash them or get the job done or all 3 points. But it's like those guys were lacklusters. I mean, Guendouzi again for me, trying his hardest in the team. And for me, the captain of Arsenal, Granit Xhaka, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, how is he inspiring the team? I may be being wrong. Maybe anybody else can tell me how I'm seeing it, but I just don't see what he's adding right now.
Yeah, but I mean, look, the game then, of course, went to full swing. It was very, quite tight in the beginning. But I mean, then it got to a point where 28th minute, where Pereira then just got the ball on the halfway line. Waltz pass, I think, when Dozier tried to, haul him back twice.
Yes.
And this is also something that I just want to also touch on quickly. Who is actually teaching these guys to have to do that recovery tackles? Because, I don't know, I've, in that game alone, I've seen a guy sidestep Xhaka and burst forward, and Xhaka tries twice to pull on the you know, to pull the guy back, but the guy was eventually too fast. And we saw Guendouzi do that, and I mean, Pereira just waltzed past him, went again through the, you know, our defense like a knife through butter, and I think it was just great reactions by Leno that stopped, you know, a low drive by Pereira, which kept the scores at 0-0.
Did you notice something with that? I don't know if it's not because of we don't have a proper defensive midfielder or something. I don't know what's going on there, but we get caught in that situation all the time. Remember with the goal of, I mean, with the penalty again of Watford. It also was a case of the guys had the freedom to run and run, and players are backing off and backing off and backing off. Eventually, David Luiz sticks his foot out, gives away a penalty. A similar situation now. Players are backing off, backing off, backing off, backing off. He gets in, and then he gets his shot away.
And then I went to the 9th minute, a great ball by Saka to Pepe. And I thought, you know, I really expected, you know, somebody that's now been so hot shot in the league to, you know, have a cooler head. And I mean, he ends up, instead of taking the ball on with time on his hands, he just first time shoots the ball way up into the stands, rugby style.
Roy Keane actually said in this game, you would say Saka looked like the 73 million player compared to Pepe. Because Pepe doesn't seem to, like, I thought Aston Villa would have maybe let him hit the ground running, but it seems he's still struggling very much in this league. I mean, you can say a guy needs to adapt to the conditions, but I mean, getting the ball like that, he had time to stop the ball, look up and curl it in.
Yeah, and then, I mean, a few minutes later, 43rd minute, Saka then, you know, on a quick counter from Arsenal, gets the ball on the halfway line, you know, sprints goalwards. And I really thought to myself, you know, where, you know, is there any support? Because, I mean, you could see at first, you know, he had the speed, but I mean, the way the United, you know, give props also to them at the back, they then, you know, managed to catch up to him, like, I think two of them. And then, you know, manages to fire a shot off. But, I mean, I was expecting, you know, say somebody like a Pepe or Aubameyang to be just somewhere in support. Because you could see, as he was running towards the United goal, he was, like, looking left and right for some sort of support. But, I mean, there was nothing coming. So, look, of course, he went on his own, you know, forced De Gea into quite a good save. And, I mean, with a rebound, I think Guendouzi just managed to come back into the United box. But, I mean, he fired from an acute angle, which De Gea pushed for a corner. So it was still, you know, 0-0. But I mean, now we're coming already into that shaky moments for Arsenal that last few minutes of the game.
Well, can you tell me what are Arsenal doing at training with the corners? Do they practice corners? Because I don't know what's happening with the corners. It's actually shocking.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't beat the first man. We have 13 to 14 corners sometimes and nothing gets converted. Like, and we all know what happens from this corner, and we know what happens in this time frame, game after game after game. I don't know if Emre picks it up, but we always concede just before half time.
Yeah, and I mean, it was very, it was like casual defending. Nobody's really picking up, even the runners, because the amount of space, you know, when they decided to break on us, when, I don't know, the cross came on from the right, I don't know if it was no, it wasn't McTominay. Was it one on the right?
James.
You know, a dazzling run that he went on. Hits the ball past Leno and the defense, overruns Rashford. Rashford, of course, gets time to almost like waltz around, and then he manages to cut the ball back. And I mean, McTominay just stops the ball like dead, looks up, sees the keeper. Socrates already throws himself to the ground. And I mean, McTominay picks his spot, which leaves Leno motionless. But I mean, what also kind of annoyed me to everything, and I mean, we were going 1-0 down, you know, a better positioning by our players could have also like stopped that goal. Because I mean, look, Leno's already trying to just get himself, you know, balanced in the middle of the goal. And I mean, if you got Socrates trying to charge a ball down and, you know, charging in a weird way, because I mean, for me, the whole position of his body was so weird. And then when the ball gets flicked up, I mean, yes, Xhaka standing there, and I mean, at times it did look like he was ducking, but I mean, I would have rather said, look, you know, keep yourself upright. you're not going to really do much if you're just going to put your forehead down like it. But I mean, instead of just standing upright and taking, say, one step to his right, I believe that's where the ball eventually landed. And, you know, take the shot or, you know, somehow just stand upright and get as much of the body, you know, to block the ball. But, I mean, it caused nothing because, I mean, it just ended up deflecting off Socrates, curling around Xhaka and, I mean, leaving our keeper flat-footed. 1-0 United going into halftime.
At that point, I thought we were going to lose the game because we just didn't seem like we were up for it. United were there for the scrap, for the fight. And, you know, watching this game as well, I was thinking, have we gone back this far behind compared to, you call it, Liverpool, Man City? Have we just gone five steps back? You're watching this Arsenal side play and you're like, is this Arsenal actually?
Because, I mean, every time it's actually getting more to us. It's the fact that, and I mean, I can speak now for myself, and I mean, I'm sure I can speak for you as well, where we used to all those excuses, because every time we see a screw-up of the team, and then in the media you hear, you know, we're going to correct the wrongs, we're going to, you know, you're going to see better of us, or as you now said with that, with Pepe, I really expected that goal being a morale booster against Villa. So, you know, you're going to take that sort of mentality or that form and you're going to take it into the league game against United. But you didn't see anything like that. Or with Xhaka also then, when it became public that he's going to become skipper, you expect something, you know, a bit more fire or something. I'm not talking of fire where you're just randomly tripping people and pulling people back. No, man.
He must have lost his keys when he ducked under that shot looking for his keys that made him a so-called leader in his household as a youngster. But, I mean, a captain doesn't do that. I mean, a captain takes the ball to the face. I mean, how much times have you seen John Terry and Tony Adams? You know, these guys are standing there firm to take one for the team. But, I mean, it says a lot when your captain ducks underneath the ball like that.
Yeah, so, you know, going to halftime, a goal down. You know, change was now expected going to the second half, but, I mean, of course, nothing happened in the first, you know, after the break. But, I mean, in the 51st minute, Torreira then, you know, miscued a shot, which was, I mean, you could see, again, what I think that you were, remark you posed last week also, why is our holding midfielder playing as a number 10 again? They get into goal scoring positions. And I mean, as the commentator said on the night, if it was now a striker or attacking midfielder, they would have now known how to position their body and fire that ball on target. Because I mean, it was really a clear cut, you know, chance that we carved out. But he ends up, you know, just fluffing it completely. And then in the 55th minute, then I think Emery then, you know, started saying, okay, look, I'm going to have to now play my hand now, yeah. Because, I mean, of course, we were almost like stunted with everything because nothing was really flowing football-wise with the team. So, you know, something creative was needed. So, and I mean, with Ozil not even in the squad, I mean, Ceballos was now the, you know, the SOS man that they needed.
And shortly after him make his introduction into the field, we get on level terms with Saka, who seemed for me a guy that's destined for the first team. And I mean, he should be playing, I think, ahead of Pepe when Lacazette's back, gliding a ball to Aubameyang, and Aubameyang coolly finishing the ball, referee giving it offside, and I thought, oh man, VAR, please do something. And rightly so.
But I mean, what I enjoyed of that moment, not just now the VAR and seeing our United fans go from joy to sadness in a few seconds, was just the fact that that Saka, look, everybody was kind of asleep to that whole thing happening because, look, United were, like, you know, attempting to play for the offside trap. And I mean, it ended up with that official getting it so wrong, you know, with Maguire playing Aubameyang onside. But I mean, just also the coolness of Saka to, you know, and I think that also with the offside trap of United, or attempted offside trap, I should say, that also, in a way, helped Aubameyang because it almost like made the goalkeeper doubt himself. The defense really almost like stood frozen, like, didn't know whether they must now go for the tackle since they were playing enough ball for the offside. And I mean, it also gave Obama also that opportunity. But I mean, it was also a fantastic finish because to see a right footer scoring a left footer dink was fantastic. So 1-1.
And it was quite a poor decision by the linesman as well to give it offside. I mean, he was, unless he, somehow Maguire obscured his vision. But I mean, he was right there to see that Maguire was clearly playing Aubameyang onside.
Yeah, but I mean, you've also played linesman already, I'm sure, in games. You always know you have to track the last defender of the team that you're on. So, I mean, the way he got that wrong, because in a way, he's standing almost like in line with Maguire. But
exactly.
He's still calling Aubameyang also. But okay, 1-1. But I mean, then it came, that was a kind of change in the game where Arsenal and I had more the tails up. Because, I mean, I think 59 minutes, it was also a miss from Saka where cool ahead, he bags it. But I think he just wanted to, you know, do one of those net busters from close range. But, I mean, he got it so wrong that it blazed over the bar.
Chambers did quite well to get that cross in. Chambers gives me some solidarity at the back, a bit better than Ainsley Maitland-Niles, to be honest.
Yeah. And then 64th minute, and Pogba, you know, just missed. You know, also like a heart in mouth moment for me, because at one point you did see, you know, Leno kind of scrambling to get across his goal line, but I mean, the ball just missed the post. And then, you know, McTominay, again, Arsenal defending at corners, shocking. You know, the ball ends up going over everybody. David Luiz jumps under the ball, I believe. And then the ball lands on McTominay's head, but he just, you know, he's totally in an awkward position and he just plays the head over the ball.
I ask myself, I mean, like, what? How did they defend corners in training? Do they practice it, or is it just a free for all? Because surely, I mean, they like to stick to the zonal marking. Personally, I like man to man. It kind of allows responsibility to see where the mistake happens. But like, the same thing happens over and over and over. And Wenger left. We were struggling with corners. We are still struggling with corners.
You know what? I find the most worrying, like, of all, like, the players that we have. Look, okay, we know where the question mark lies with Socrates and with David Luiz, and of course sometimes with Mustafi when he plays. Not like recently, but we all know what Mustafi has done. But one guy that's the most unaware player, besides if you talk of Xhaka in midfield, is Kolasinac. I've never seen a guy allow so many things happen around him where he's totally oblivious to. Like, I've seen people do overlap runs behind his back, and he does not know what's going on. You saw what happened also against Villa, where with that first goal of Aston Villa, I do blame him because he kind of sees everything like in panoramic view when that guy, you know, darts behind Guendouzi. I mean, of course, Guendouzi should have been a bit more alert, but I mean, it's also down to you as one of the senior players also in defense. Give a shout, say something that something's happened, because at that moment, I think if you even ever look at that goal again, David Luiz, Socrates, they're watching that ball come in from, was it El Ghazi? And then, of course, that McGinn is darting in from the back. And, I mean, he's just standing there, I'm not sure if Kolasinac is just pointing, but he's not saying anything. You don't see any movement from his mouth or anything. And I'm just thinking, I mean, this guy is every time, and that was also with us United game. There were numerous times with it, I think, so midway in the first half and quite a few times in the second half where he kept on losing the player.
I'm so glad Tierney will hopefully be making a way back into this Arsenal side because we sorely need him.
Yeah, and I mean, I just I saw a day ago the Scotland manager said Arsenal have asked to have Tierney withdrawn, but now the one worry I do have is I saw him training the last few days now for Arsenal, Tierney. And there was talk that he's going to play. So, like for tonight's game against Standard Liège. But I'm just worried now because, you know, you also don't want to have that where you have the drama between club and national team. So, because look, I think if it's almost like where they say he can't play for Scotland, then you're probably going to ask, like, then why is he playing for his club? You know, if they ask to have him withdrawn. So, you know, I just hope that's not the type of, you know, thin ice thing we're on with FIFA.
Is this the last round of fixtures before we go back to the international break?
Yeah, we have now the Liège game, which we'll now just touch on a bit, and then, of course, the gaming is born with a weekend, and then it's like 2 week break again.
Oh man! But before I get like, you know, we round off this game, I just want to say like, even if Arsenal had to score a winner, I don't think I would have had the game drained me so much, and the way we were playing disappointed me so much that I think if we had scored a winner, I would never have had that oomph. You know, I'm someone that if Arsenal scores a goal, I go berserk and I go crazy. But it's like at the moment when we played against United, and even if we had to win, it just wouldn't have felt satisfying.
Yeah, because I mean, it's gotten now to a point where, you know, when they have all these stats popping up like that, that thing about winning away at the top 60, when they showed how many years it's been. I mean, it's sort of like a kick in the teeth. And for me by now, since it's been also so long, it almost like feels whenever, look, yes, it's a draw against United and that, but when you see so the quality or lack thereof of the United squad, and we came away there with a draw, it feels like a loss.
Yeah, and it just seems our waveform just can't get going. Yes, I know we played Liverpool in one of our away fixtures and United away from home. But, I mean, Watford haven't won a game this season, if I'm not mistaken. But we went to go and throw a two-goal lead against him away from home. Yeah, so
this goes to show the negativity of the manager. I think this is also where Emery needs to, you know, take partial blame for this. Because he's, at times, it's not like the blend that he's setting up. But I don't know, it's just not right. You know, in the certain games, we can see, okay, this team is kind of fearing us, so we can go a bit more adventurous. And then you get games, like, say, with Liverpool, where you should now be a bit more conservative, where he ended up almost like opening us up or having the team play a sort of football that just opened us up. Also with Watford, when Watford picked up also that time when we were scared of this little back passes or the goal kicks and that, it ended up being where that forced us into errors, and every time we are being forced into, you know, since we're not forcing our authority or our personality as a team onto the other, onto our opponent. So it's almost like it's causing all this type of pressure on us now. And we're not sure.
Can I ask you a question? What is our personality actually under Emre?
I don't know, because
we don't know. Like Wenger, you know, we played attractive football, kind of attacking, passing, like, you know, passing football possession game. But I don't know what Emre's personality as a coach, or what is Arsenal's identity. We don't have one.
Because I mean, for me, sometimes at home, and you can also pick it up with the crowd. I'm not saying the fans are always right in the ground, and then, but I mean, when you home and you're playing say a team that's say bottom quarter of the league. You try to go out and you know, play, you maybe have, let's say, one holding mid that's always going to do your protection and that. But you go out and you play and you try to play them totally off the park. I mean, it's your stomping grounds, your pitch. You have to dominate and dictate, not have, you know, team sucker punch you at random. You can't do that. And I mean, that is where, in a way, I'm worried. I'm not going to be now on that whole, oh, Emery out bandwagon and that. But my thing is just, you know, kind of show why Raul Sanin and the club or the board of executives, you know, wanted you as a manager. Show why. Because, I mean, what he's showing at the moment is, you know, the way when Mourinho left Chelsea after their success and then he went, you know, to Inter and had success and then he went to Madrid and had a little bit of success. But, I mean, something like with the minute he came back to the English game, he became almost like overly cautious. And that is what I see with Emery. It's like he doesn't want to make a mistake, but he also doesn't want to sacrifice something. So, you know, you're on a pendulum that's almost like not really swinging. It's just in the middle. It doesn't know what it wants to do.
The problem is, like my last thing about this before we go on to, you know, the Europa League tie, but the problem comes down to is Torreira was our best defensive midfielder last season for me, by no comparison to anyone. Then you have Guendouzi now, who's playing top-quality football. So, for me, Torreira and Guendouzi should be playing together. But now you have to shoe on Xhaka into the team because he's the captain. So, now you have three midfielders who are not combining well with each other. And you're forced to have a defensive structure unless you drop Torreira. And that could eventually lead to him possibly, you know, wanting to exit the club for lack of game time.
And I mean, we're also now in a situation where, look, Emery clearly now shown he does not want Ozil, you know, in his plans anyway. So it's almost like now you also have that issue also to with it, keeping Ozil out of the side. And then, of course, you just got Ceballos. But, I mean, at the moment, it's still just a loan deal. So how does he go, you know, from there? Because you can't just throw everything, say, on somebody like Willock or whatever.
No, you can't. I mean, Ozil, I mean, he's not a bad player. Yes, he needs to pick up his work rate. But if you protect him, I know it sounds bad, but if you can protect him with two... Like if you had a Decore and a Kapui, I know Watford is struggling, but if you had those two guys kind of behind Ozil or those mold type of players, then Ozil can do his thing as a attacking mid.
Because I mean the best that Mourinho used to get out of Ozil back in the day was having, you know, Sami Khedira almost like shielding him at the back. You know, allowing him to do that, you know, letting him play that free role and letting him, you know, cause damage. Because look, I'm not the biggest Ozil fan. But it also does not help if you're lacking creativity and you completely omit this guy and you're not really giving, say, Ceballos even more game time that he needs. Because I think Ceballos is also somebody that he could do damage, but give him more time to play. Don't just give him, like, say, 25 or 20-minute cameo roles. Don't work either.
They should use Ceballos almost like the Ramsey at times. We know when Lacazette and Aubameyang almost opened up and played a bit wider, and then like against Spurs in the North London derby at Wembley, where Ramsey was always getting in the, or was it at the Emirates, where Ramsey was getting in that gap all the time because the two strikers were almost pulling the defense away from each other. But that being said, I think, you know, tonight's game against the Standard Liège side, who we've done quite well in the Belgian league at the moment.
It's second, yeah, so I checked these stats. Because, I mean, at the moment, you know, goals are also not that tough for them to score. Because, I mean, they're on quite a hot streak at the moment. I mean, they haven't lost since 1st of September. And, I mean, the top players like to keep an eye on if they play now tonight is the Mpoko, is a right winger. And then you have that Lestien. I think we saw him in one of the games last season or something like that, where his name also came in, and he's like one of the left wingers, also quite creative. And then, of course, they have Bastien, who's there, like in the heart of the midfield. Goals for them, Lestien is almost like their goal scorer, like a winger, almost like their version of Pepe that they have. And, you know, they're a tough team to break down because I think defensively they're quite solid. So it's going to, you know, take hard work to get to break through to them.
It'll be interesting to see the type of side Emre is going to bring to the fore tonight. Is he going to, you know, go mix and match, or is he going to rest the likes of Saka maybe? But I can tell you one thing, and I hope I don't jinx it, but I think we're going to play a much smoother game without Xhaka if Xhaka is not starting.
Let's see. I mean, either way, it will be interesting to see because it's our back-to-back home games. After the Liège game, we welcome Bournemouth to the Emirates. Bournemouth also not having that bad of a season. I mean, at times they are a bit inconsistent, but I mean, they've, you know, got quite a few wins under the belt also already.
And they like Bournemouth always gives us a tricky tie at the Emirates. We always get the job done, but it's never a smooth sailing game, especially the way Eddie Howe plays. He's a very attacking manager, and I feel if Arsenal's going to come with this defensive mindset against Bournemouth, we could be in trouble. I'm not saying we're going to lose, but we could very much be in trouble if we go there with a negative mindset. If we go there, play our game, and try to knock them off the park, we could get the result. But if we're going to go conservative again, I fear long 90 minutes again.
Yeah, but I mean, at the moment, look, with Bournemouth 8th place, they're also playing a very open, almost like too open brand of football, and it's almost like catching them also kind of out, because if you look at our record, like goals for, goals against, it's just almost like the same as Bournemouth. Bournemouth got 13 goals for, 12 against. So, you know, they're shipping as much as they're scoring. So, and I mean, Callum Wilson is all banging in the goals for them.
Arsenal need to press home the advantage now, because we've come to a point where Spurs, I think, will eventually turn the corner. Chelsea, I think, are slowly starting to adjust to Lampard. Okay, United, I'm not sure so much about them, but Arsenal need to press home the advantage. If we don't, we have the most settled team, I think. I mean, Spurs are having a lot of infighting as well. Mm. But if we can take advantage, I mean, we can build a gap before you know it. those other guys must still play City. I know we must play City still, but they must play Liverpool and all that. So we need to really press home this advantage now. If not, another season without Champions League football. I don't want to speak too far ahead, but that could be Emirates head on the line.
Because, you know, what frustrates me with seeing the scenario play out, it's the same point you brought up some weeks back with that Leicester City when they won the Premier League, where it was also in our hands to, you know, challenge them for that title. And, I mean, we ended up, you know, almost like giving them, almost like gifting them that, because that was almost like the time where Liverpool were trying to get themselves into some sort of consistency. Man City were having an off period. United weren't really, you know, challenges and that. So it was, you know, down to us to try to make something of it. But, I mean, we ended up just, you know, making a big balls up of everything. And
We literally bottled it that season. I mean, coming down to losing to an under strength United side where Marcus Rashford actually made a Premier League debut, and then losing 2-1 to Swansea at the Emirates Stadium.
Wasn't that also that season where we also threw it away against Watford, which was also like a given game to win?
No, that was in the FA Cup when we lost 2-1 to them. In the league, I think that season we beat them 4-0 or something like that. But there was games that season where Arsenal just capitulated, and then we ended up second, but it was like, you know, points off Leicester, when if we had beaten Man United, we could have, you know, been 2 points behind Leicester, and then the rot just fell after that. So
if you look at it like from or you look at it in hindsight, I mean, we ended up beating Leicester at home and away.
The only team to do it that season. Home and away, you beat the champions. But because of your inconsistencies, like, I mean, that season you can go back and look at games. We threw to Norwich 1-1. We lost to West Brom 2-1. It's just games that, I mean, we threw it home, like to the Sunderlands and all those things. It's just, I don't know, Arsenal just don't seem to know how to take advantage of slip-ups of other teams, because we'll go slip-up with them.
So I'll end the podcast here. I hope you guys enjoy this evening's game. You know, I hope it's a positive result for us. Aiden, I haven't discussed this with you. I might as well discuss it now with you while we're online. I was thinking of, look, since we have the game tonight, we have the game on Sunday. If we somehow, if it also, with, according to your schedule, if we do a podcast maybe on the Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that.
You know, Tuesday next week. Yeah, that should be fine.
Okay. Then you take care of.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Bye. Come on.
Yeah,